You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello. You're listening to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer, and today I have a fellow marketing strategist with me. Kimberly Whitecamp is a conversion copywriter. We're going to talk about what conversion means and why that's so important to you and your business in just a moment. She has created her own method to get an audience that you have following you out there to actually fall in love with you and want to spend money with you, which ultimately is really what we all want to do as business owners, right? She calls it the audience conversion method, and we'll dig into that as well. You can also find her on her own podcast, the Audience Converter Podcast. Is it for community leaders specifically? Is that part of the name?
That is part of the name, yes.
Okay, yeah. Anyway, I've already invited her into the conversation. Kimberly, welcome to More Perfect Marketing.
Thank you so much for having me, David. I'm excited to chat with you and a fellow marketing geek.
Yes. Somebody asked me recently, you know, for an intro, and I said, gosh, well, you can say I'm a wine geek, a theater geek, and a marketing geek. And they said, that's so refreshing. Most people just like have a list of all their accomplishments. I said, nah, well, that'll come. So
thanks. Pinch out wine for sci-fi, and that's me too.
Exactly. Well, cool. Oh, I guess we're going to have that theater conversation at some point offline. So I asked you a little bit about sort of your philosophy at one point. And one of the things that you say repeatedly when I hear you talk on this topic is the importance of marketing being a reflection of what it's like to work with you as a business or business owner. Can you sort of flesh that out a little bit for us?
Absolutely. So I have found working with a lot of small business owners that we kind of divorce the idea in our head that marketing and sales in our business are kind of three separate things. And that's not the reality, right? The marketing is what brings people into our world. And then the marketing is that first step in the sales process. And all of that kind of connects to how we run our business. So I hear from a lot of people, oh, well, what's the right way to do that? Or somebody will come up to me and say, yeah, you know, this is what I do, and this is how I help people, and this is how I work with them, but I don't know how to say that in marketing speak. And I'll tell them, you know what? The way you say that in quote unquote marketing speak is exactly what you just said. Because when we talk to our audience, when we talk to our clients and customers as real people and refer to them as real people and have that idea in our head that our marketing is to a real person, not only does our marketing stand out that way, but it also gives them a small taste of what it's like to work with us, because that's the first interaction they're going to have with us before taking that step to work with us.
I love the way that you position it. Just be yourself, ultimately,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Ultimately be yourself. Absolutely. Who wants to be somebody else? You're the only right. You in the world.
And it makes it so much easier for us when we're ourselves, then we don't have to put on that facade or that other character that we think they're expecting. So that I love that. You have an interesting background about how you came to this that I bet probably relates to and informs the way the approach that you take here. Do you mind sharing some of your story?
Absolutely. So, you know, I was one of those lucky people during the last recession to be graduating and having no chance of getting a job. So I moved to Spain and I became an English teacher. So I was teaching English to people who, you know, English is a second language, right? So these were people who didn't know, whatever concept they were learning, you had to simplify it a lot so that when you could have that conversation, they could understand it because English was not their native tongue. And I got my start doing that. And then quickly fell in love also with living abroad and traveling everywhere. So I met a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds and got to know a lot about different cultures and how they interact and what it's like to like be yourself in a new place, right? And from that, I dived into copywriting and I worked specifically in the travel industry for a number of years, but I worked in the software side of things. That was with the software side, oftentimes you'd have like a 12 to 18 month sales cycle. So if anyone out there listening, right, if you're a small business owner and you have a really long sales cycle, the problem a lot of people find is keeping people engaged throughout that process. right? Being able to keep them talking to you, engaging with you, opening your messages, responding to whatever it is that you're doing. So what I helped a lot in the travel industry do was create an automated way to keep in touch, keep engaged, and not lose so many people throughout that 12-month process. And the same kind of approach is really useful for who I work with now, right? People building communities. But basically, it's this idea that we have to remember who we're talking to. And we have to remember that there are ways for us to keep in front of and in ways for us to engage with people, even if they're not ready to buy yet.
Yeah, we talk about this often as the nurture phase of the relationship. And mm-hmm. you point out the nurturing of the relationship for a prospect. There's also the nurturing of the relationship for the existing client or customer too, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, if somebody joins you on an early stage or a lower tier of service and then they're ready to move up, you have to be providing a great and fantastic experience throughout that process to make them ready for when it's the right time or when it's the right fit for them to move to that next tier. So I view all of that as kind of a combination of marketing and delivery of your product. Mm-hmm. And it, again, should be a reflection of working with you, whether you're actively working with them or you're prepping somebody to be ready to work with you.
Okay, so let's go back to the year and a half sales cycle.
Yes.
What the heck are you sending them and talking about for a year and a half?
So oftentimes you're focusing on what are those unasked questions or what are those stopping points? Mm-hmm. So oftentimes we would send resources, we would send check-ins, you would send just regular touch points. Like for example, because it's such a long sales cycle, a reason for that would be somebody has a license for like 3 years per se. And about halfway through that cycle, they start comparing options. Are there better options out there? Are there, is my current option the best one? So you check in halfway through that 12-month sales cycle and say, hey, are you still looking for help on this? Because that simple, short, sweet check-in reminds people who you are, reminds people of what you do, but it also gives them the opportunity to say, hey, I don't want to hear from you anymore. It saves you time and resources, and it creates a good long-term relationship with that person. Because if they say, no, we're not anymore, they'll still remember that. It still sticks in their mind. And if that person, for example, switches companies, or if that person is then looking for a new solution again in 18 months, they'll remember that you checked in and said, hey, do you still want to hear from us? And that is already 2 or 3 points ahead of for you in that process. So we'd have a variety of check-ins that we would do to keep the conversation going and to check in to see, hey, are you ready to skip the last 3 months, right? Are you in that buying phase now, or are you still in the information gathering phase? So, sending resources like blog posts, videos, podcasts, case studies, white papers, all of those types of things, but in a way that framed it as not, oh, here's all my marketing stuff, but here's something I think might interest you. Let me know what you think.
So you're talking about having a bunch of assets that were ready to go in that situation. And I think a lot of businesses are sitting there not realizing, A, that they have any assets or not having any assets. So what is the process that you would recommend somebody go through to sort of figure out what those subjects are that would be most interesting or engaging to a prospect or to an existing customer who maybe isn't taking advantage of the full range of what you may have to offer?
Absolutely. So that actually ties into what I teach about, right? The audience conversion method.
I know, that's why I asked.
That's step number two. So step number one is to really know your audience. And especially in the software industry where I got my start, oftentimes you had many decision makers and you had, the person you had to make the initial connection with, and then the person you had to create an asset for that would make the final decision, right? So whenever you go to create any marketing, you have to know, who am I talking to? And you can't just say, my favorite was I would get people, I'd ask, okay, who's your ideal client? And these head of marketing of these mm-hmm. technology companies would say something like, we work with hotels that have over 200 rooms. And I would take a pause and I would explain to them that the hotel is a building and it's not reading anything they send them. It's a person who's reading it. Who is that person? Give me their title. So it's really important for you to know who exactly you're talking to first. Mm-hmm. And once you do that, then you can start that process of finding their top concerns. So if you know who that person is, then where do they hang out? What are they asking? And if you don't know what they're asking, first off, you can go through past correspondence. You can go through your current client list and see what were the top questions they asked after they signed on. Go ahead and answer those questions before the sales process starts. But then you can also find, well, where are these people hanging out? And then go and find what their top topics are, especially for the industry I started in. One of the easiest ways to do this is to go look at a conference and then see what the talk titles are. Well, guess what? If there's a talk title about it, clearly there's a huge interest in it. And then you can use that as a starting point for creating your ideas.
That's a good one. I haven't thought about conferences as a research method, but that's getting added to my list. Thanks for that one.
You are very welcome.
So, all right, let's talk a little bit about the importance of the thing you focus on, conversion, because and I know that you're actually working with folks on the fact that they have a list, an audience, a following, whatever it may be in whatever form, whether it's an email list or social media, right? And they've done a lot of work to develop that following, but they may not have really figured out the process for moving people from following them to giving them money. That's kind of a big thing, right? If you want to have a thriving business.
You know, at the end of the day, that is the thing, but it's not the thing most of us focus on. One of the things that bothers me about online marketing is that everyone focuses on lead generation. How do you get more people in? How do you get more people in? How do you get more people in? So everyone focuses on what you talk about, right? I have to build a list of 5,000 names. I need to build a following of 25,000 people on Twitter, whatever it is. And at the reality, though, is that that's just a vanity metric. That's a number. Cool. You've got 25K. Good job. But if you don't have a plan for moving them from a stranger to a loyal fan and client, then you don't have a plan for making them into clients and into moneymakers for yourself. So with the audience conversion method, that's the whole idea, is you guide them from strangers to loyal clients. And the process for that is, first off, you have to know what conversion looks like for you. So often there's this thing called comparanoia in the world of marketing. Well, so-and-so got an XYZ, I should aim for that, whatever that is.
Yeah.
And one of those things could be like, oh, I got a, you know, my open rate increased 10%. But that's not your ultimate goal. Your ultimate goal is to get clients. So what metrics do you want to tick off on the way to getting a client? So for example, do you want a certain number of discovery calls a month to be booked from your email system, for example? Or do you want a certain number of people to sign up to be a part of your paid networking group a month? Do you want a certain number of new clients to say yes within a month? What is your metric? What's your success metric? What does your win look like? You have to define that before you can worry about conversion. Because oftentimes people will say, oh yeah, you know, I sent an email, nobody signed up, it didn't convert. And then I'll ask, okay, well, how many people saw that email? Do you know? How many people then went to the page where the offer was? Oh, I have no idea. I'd have to go look that up. Well, then you can't track your conversion metrics. You can't track what is and isn't working if you don't even know what's going on in the in-between. So I say, first, sit down, decide your metric. What does success look like for you and your business, not anybody else's? You get to define for yourself what that looks like. And then your conversion is how many people actually do what you want them to do. So if you want 3 new discovery calls a month and you're getting 2 new discovery calls a month, your conversion numbers are okay, but they're not great because they're not at the metric you want. But maybe you only need to fix 1 or 2 things to get that up to 3 a month. But if you say, well, I want 5 new sales a month, whatever that looks like, right? And you're getting 1 new sale a month, well, clearly you're losing people along the path. So where are you losing them? So when we talk about conversion, it's strictly talking about, okay, are people doing what you want them to do at each step of the way? So if you get 100 new signups a week, you want 10 of those to get to email number 3, and then you want 2 of those people to sign up for a discovery call. Okay, each of those milestones is a conversion metric.
Mm-hmm. All right, now you're talking about this like you're a mathematician, right? The metrics and the numbers and the tracking and all of that, or maybe a scientist. But in fact, your sweet spot is actually in copywriting, in words.
Correct.
So can you talk a little bit about how approaching this question of conversion from the perspective of the words that you're using matters, and where there might be a tweak that somebody makes when it comes to the language or the words that they're putting in front of someone that can affect a change?
Sure. So, you know, words have power. Words are pretty much the only method we have of communicating with people online, in the online space, right? And what can you test? So some easy things to test for your words are, well, how many people opened my message? If I change the subject line, does that number go up or down? So a subject line is a really great way for you to test, because then you can see what people are interested in. So if you change slightly the subject line, but it's a different topic that you're highlighting in the message, for example, a different benefit, right? Maybe you mentioned two benefits of what you're talking about in your email, and you have one subject line with benefit A and one subject line with benefit B, right? Which one resonates most with your audience? That's a great way for you to increase your conversions. It's just mm-hmm. to do some testing. But when it comes to the words, the best place for you to craft words that are going to convert is to, and I know this is going to be a novel concept, talk to your audience. The best way for you to create words that resonate is to use the language your audience is already using. So this can be getting people on the phone to ask them about their struggles and obstacles. This can be, just as I mentioned before, sourcing from past client Q&As or support requests to see how they're phrasing that concern, right? They may be saying something like, well, I can't figure out how to log in. And so you don't necessarily want to create a piece of copy saying, log in easy way or something, mm-hmm. right? Like, I can't even think of something, right? You know, just saying, you can't figure out how to log in. Here's a quick 1, 2, 3 step for you to follow, right? So going back and looking at past concerns. And also one of my favorite things to use is called a thank you page survey. So after someone takes action, whether that's joining your list, booking a call with you, buying something from you, if you have a shopping cart, whatever it is, you ask a single question on that thank you page related to what you're looking for information on. So it can be something like, where did you find me? If you're looking for information about where your traffic is coming from. Or it can be something like, so what made you choose to opt into the list today? And people will give you an answer. And gathering that information as you go will not only let you gather what we call voice of customer data, but it will also let you see if there's a change in how people are thinking in your audience. So if your audience at first is really concerned about how to get started with email marketing, and then a couple months later, most of the answers are about how to create better subject lines, then the type of customer you're getting in is changing. And so you might want to change the words that you're using to talk about what you do.
Wow. That was a wonderfully thorough answer. And there was a lot of great stuff in there. So folks, if you need to go back and listen to some of that, please do, because you should be taking action on pretty much everything that Kimberly just talked about. You have a specialty when it comes to email marketing, but I know that you also work on email in the context of where people are coming from getting on that email list and where people are going to from the email list, right? Landing pages or the messaging that they're going to see, because it all kind of needs to work together.
Absolutely. Right?
So shortly after you and I met, I saw just reels of testimonials from people who we know in common saying, well, we just hired Kimberly to help us with this or this or this, and she's amazing and well-deserved on your part. But I wonder if you can give me a sense of how does a business know that they need somebody like you to address, you know, their copy or positioning or whatever they're dealing with in their business at that moment that needs to be improved or changed?
Sure. So, you know, there's a lot of opportunities for people to decide if they want to hire somebody that's outside their organization. One of the best methods, right, is just looking at your numbers. Are you happy with the way your marketing is converting? Have you gone through the process I outlined? Are you happy with those numbers? If the answer is no, and you're not really sure where to get started, then it's a great time to look for a copywriter and marketing strategist. If you find that you're having a hard time keeping up with demand, I know it's really easy for a lot of us to put our own marketing on the back burner. I need to help clients first. So if you want to be more consistent and want to have a plan in place, that's a great time to start looking for help as well. And also with email marketing, one of the easiest methods to get started with me is to do something called a welcome series. So that is if people join your list, you give them a curated new subscriber experience, 5 to 7 emails. It goes out to everybody who joins, and it basically introduces you, who you are, what you do, who you serve, and how you can help people with an ultimate goal at the end of those 5 to 7 emails. So instead of somebody joining your list and then getting your next promotion saying, hey, cart closes tomorrow, or hey, our Black Friday special is ending, you know, tonight. Instead of that happening, they get a more warm welcome, if you will, right? They get introduced to you. They get welcomed into your home, into your email list, and they get to know you a little bit before moving on to the more generic nurture and or sales conversations. So a welcome series is a great place to start.
And that's something that I've seen you talk about, describe, and actually seen some of the examples of things that you've created for people. And there's a personality to them, which I think goes back to where we started this conversation, which is that it's not your business entity talking to, you know, the group of people out there who are the potential customers, right? It's a person talking to another person, and you're talking about things that are interesting, amusing, meaningful, et cetera, right? Mm-hmm. Can you talk briefly about sort of your philosophy in that welcome series?
Absolutely. So as I've said before, right, your welcome series should be an extension of what it's like to work with you. Your marketing should be an extension of what it's like to work with you. Frankly, I've got 1,000 unread messages in my inbox, and I'm sure you do too.
It's so like 14,000, but yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, right. So it's a lot. And if you want to become one of those emails that gets opened instead of ignored, then you need to be personal in your emails. So many of us, we get bombarded with business, 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 or discount, 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 or offer, offer, offer. So when we get emails that are like, hey, I'm just having a conversation with you. I want to get to know you. I want to connect with you before moving to that kind of conversation. When people realize it's a real person as opposed to just a quote unquote business, which could be, you know, a box sending out something, it stands out in the inbox and it becomes something that people really look forward to reading. So I give the best example ever is when I was teaching English in Spain, I got an email from my mother, which said job opportunity, not spam. There's a great email subject line. And because it was from my mom, I also opened the email. Now, it didn't really matter what was inside because my mother sent it. Now, the subject line was super intriguing, so I opened it really fast as opposed to waiting a couple of hours, right? So you kind of want to create the same type of experience. Think about the last time you went on vacation or the last time you decided to take a break for a holiday, right? You come back to your inbox and you've got so many things to weed through. Are you looking at subject lines first? No. What you're doing is you're looking at the senders. Who sent me something? And then you'll stop and be like, that person, I usually like what they have to say. Now I'm going to go look at the subject line. So by creating a welcome series that's personal, that's personalized, that's more conversational, you become somebody that people stop scrolling for. Oh, I'm back from a long break. I'm going to look through my inbox. Ooh, that person I want to hear from. Now let me go check the subject line. So when you create those emails that are more you, as opposed to, let's only talk about business and facts that anybody can Google, then you become somebody people want to hear from.
Yeah, makes total sense. And I teach that a lot, right? What's the first thing that people look at in their inbox? It's the sender. And so, yeah, totally agree. You made a point before that I want to just highlight because it's important for folks to know. You said, as you find yourself in the various situations where you may need to bring somebody in-house and hire a copywriter and marketing strategist. Copywriting is just a piece of the puzzle. And there are lots of capable copywriters who can be handed an assignment, given the context, and then they can do a great job. Mm-hmm. But what you bring to the table is very, very different, which is that you really understand the context or can help your clients understand and see the opportunity that they may not see right in front of them. And that is the marketing strategist component that you bring to the table. And so I wanted to make sure that people didn't simply interpret what you said as any generic copywriter will do, because you have a set of superpowers that are well beyond simply a copywriter.
Hey, thank you.
So for people who are interested in that welcome series approach that you take, I think that's a really good starting point for them to get to know you and understand what you can help them with. Do you have a good place to send them?
Absolutely. So they can go check out theaudienceconverter.com/giveaway. theaudienceconverter.com/giveaway. And there you'll find a guide. It's how to craft the perfect welcome series, top 7 tips for getting more clicks, opens, and engagements from email number 1. So it's, my top 7 tips basically on how to get started with a welcome series. And those are the same approaches and same ideas that I have used to help my clients get up to 80% open rates on their welcome series.
Wow, that's an impressive number. Nothing like what I'm getting down in the low 20s, but maybe you and I need to talk. Anyway, Kimberly Whitecamp, thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with us here. And folks, thank you for giving us a little bit of your time here at More Perfect Marketing. We look forward to seeing you again real soon.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. For a collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, please visit getdavidsgift.com. That's getdavidsgift.com. Once again, thanks for listening to More Perfect Marketing.